Talk about a troublemaker. He doesn't mean to be. He didn't try to make trouble, but he does. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. There's only five verses of Scripture that deal with his existence, but these five verses tell us a ton about this man. I call him troublemaker, like I said, tongue-in-cheek, but really, he's only the one of very few that we read about in Scripture that got what Jesus was all about, that understood what Jesus came to do and understood all about our Lord. We're going to be talking about this morning is the thief on the cross. In Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, we see the five verses that mention this man's existence. And that's all we know of this man. Let me reemphasize and reread the scripture that was read here this morning. We'll get our thoughts before us this morning. In Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 39, this is when Jesus was on the cross with the two evildoers. He says, "One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.'" And you may ask, why is this guy a troublemaker? What kind of trouble could he cause? He's about to die. His life is just about over. And if you've ever tried to teach someone the importance and the necessity of baptism for their salvation, you know what I'm talking about. Because when people don't want to believe that baptism is necessary or that it's important to their salvation, they always bring up this man, the thief on the cross. He wasn't baptized and Jesus saved him. And all the trouble starts. But I always ask, how do you know he was never baptized? Could he have been in the multitude who came to John when John was baptizing in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6? John the Baptist was beginning his ministry and teaching and preaching to the people. And look at what he says in Matthew chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. He says, "Then I went out to him, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." People came from all around to hear John and to hear the message. And we see here John baptizing these people as they confessed their sins. Could he have been with the multitude there? Or could he have been with the multitude when Jesus sent the 12 out to preach in Mark chapter 6? He sent them out two by two, remember? And they went out preaching and doing all kinds of miracles and healing the sick and casting out demons. And notice what he says here in Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 12. He says, "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two and gave them the power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no script, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And remember, he said unto them, 'In what place whatsoever ye enter in, an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whoso shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.' And they went out and preached that men should repent." Could this thief on the cross be one of those ones that the Jesus' disciples taught to repent of the sins that they've committed? Could he have been there and heard their message and did what they told them needed to be done? Is it possible? How do you know that he wasn't one of those two? And ask him to prove it. Even if this man wasn't baptized, didn't Jesus have the power to save anyone that he chose? Remember in Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, Jesus healed the man that was sick with palsy. Do you remember what he told him? Matthew 9, verses 2 through 7. It says, "And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee.' And behold, certain of the scribes that said within themselves, 'This man blasphemeth.' And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, Then saith unto the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. Jesus told him, Your sins have been forgiven. In fact, he says the reason he said that, he says, was verse 6, that you may know that I have, the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. Couldn't Jesus have easily forgiven this criminal on the cross? And what about in Luke chapter 7, verses 47 and through 48? When the sinful woman came to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Remember what Jesus said to her? Luke chapter 7, verses 47 and 48. He says, Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. Didn't Jesus have the power to forgive sins while he was on the earth? Sure he did. But why this man? Why this thief? He was a criminal. He admitted it. He deserved to die. Why did Jesus choose to save him? Was Jesus so delusional on the cross that from all the pain that he didn't know what he was doing? What was so special about this thief that Jesus would want to save him? This is going to be our lesson for this morning. Jesus, why save this man? Why would Jesus save this man? Now most people, when you look at this man, they see a criminal. Someone who broke the law and got caught and is being punished. Some look at him as a dirty, rotten, no good individual. And it's probably true. But in these five verses, a lot more is revealed about this man and might get us to understand a little bit more about him. Now, I'm not going to gloss over his life this morning, make it look so rosy, so to speak, that Jesus had to save him. He was a criminal and deserved to die. I'm not going to excuse his actions, as some might do. Oh, maybe he had a bad childhood, or maybe he just fell on hard times and lost his job and had to steal in order to survive, or whatever. He deserved to be punished. And by his own admission, he was guilty and deserved to die. But let's look what's revealed about him, that Jesus could save him at this time. I think we'll find that he's not so much different than any of us even today. So as we look in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, if you have your Bibles there, turn there, because we'll be spending a lot of time in this passage here this morning. In Luke chapter 23, notice in verse 40 of Luke chapter 23. He says, But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? What's revealed here is this man had faith in God. He was fearful. This word fear here means to be afraid. He's talking to this other criminal. He says, Aren't you afraid of God? Why would he be afraid of God? Could he have known about the judgment that was awaiting him? Is that why he was fearful? Perhaps he heard Jesus speak about the judgment that was to come. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus taught about this judgment as he spoke to the people and the crowds of the people. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1 it says, And Jesus came to pass, and it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. So Jesus is going about teaching and preaching in their cities. Well, what was he teaching? Notice in the same chapter, verse 20. Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his works were done, because they repented not. He says, Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Notice verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done unto thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Jesus is teaching in all the cities, and he's talking about a day of judgment. Could this man have possibly been in the audience and heard Jesus speak about these things? Go over a chapter in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 36 and 37. It says, "But Jesus speaking, but I say unto thee that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Could he hear Jesus himself speak about this day of judgment? That there's going to be a day of judgment where all men will stand before God. For this thief, it would be a fearful time. He knew about God, and he knew what he was about to face. He knew, though, that there was more to his being than this life. I don't know how he knew this, but the scriptures teach that he knew it and was fearful of God. Secondly, he knew about the mercy of God. Look at in verse 42 of Luke chapter 23. He knew God was merciful. He says, and he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He says, "Remember me, Lord." A thief. Who do you think you are? You're a thief. You deserve to die, and you're asking for mercy from God's Son. Will a thief have any part in Jesus' kingdom? Really? What kind of kingdom is this going to be? Is this going to be a who's who of the world's worst criminals? Does this thief really expect to be part of Christ's kingdom? Is it possible? It's no more possible for him as it is for men like Abraham and Peter. They used to be liars. Oh, they told some tall tales in their times. Or what about the Apostle Paul? Does he deserve to be there? He was a murderer. But yet, scriptures teach he expects to be in Christ's kingdom. And what about Matthew and Zacchaeus, who were thieves as well? Oh, they were legal thieves. They were tax collectors. Did they expect to be in Jesus' kingdom? Notice I said these people used to be. They didn't continue in their sins. Is it not people like this that Jesus came to save? Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13? Jesus says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that behold, need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Isn't that who Jesus came to save? Is this the thief so different than we are? Are we so righteous, so good, that God just has to save us? Or will God just forget about all the evil that we do and let us into heaven anyway? How is it that that thief expected to be in Jesus' kingdom? It's by the same mercy that Jesus extended to the Canaanite woman, to a Gentile. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 15? In Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, a woman comes to Jesus asking him to heal her daughter. Notice what the scriptures say. It says, "And then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came up out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent to the lost. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Jesus extended mercy to this woman in healing her daughter. It was by this same mercy that Jesus extended to the two blind men at the side of the road in Matthew chapter 20, who begged Jesus for mercy. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. He says, "And they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them that they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I do unto you?' And they said unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Could this thief have been in the multitude that was following Jesus that day and saw Jesus extend mercy to these blind men? Or could he have known about the mercy that Jesus extended to the man's lunatic son in Matthew chapter 17? He was vexed with evil spirits and came to Jesus asking for help. In Matthew 17, verses 14 and 15. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.'" And we see Jesus curing him. Jesus having mercy on him. And notice there was a crowd there present. Could this man have been in the crowd and seen the mercy that Jesus bestowed upon this man's son? What about the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, verses 12 and 13? They came to Jesus. They had an incurable disease, one that vexed them sorely. And notice what the attitude Jesus had toward them in Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 13. "And when he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And Jesus did." They begged for mercy, and Jesus complied. By this same mercy, it was by this same mercy that this thief expected to be in Jesus' kingdom as well. It's by this same mercy that we expect to be in God's kingdom as well. Not because we're so good, but because of God's mercy. Where did this thief hear about this mercy? Was he there by the road when the blind men were crying out? Perhaps he was there when Jesus cured the man's lunatic son. Perhaps he heard those who rebuked Jesus on the cross. Because you remember in verse 35 of Luke 23, they were coming by wailing railing on Jesus, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself." Did he hear that? And no, Jesus was a man of mercy. I don't know how he knew, but he knew about God's mercy. And he pleaded with Jesus with his dying breath, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into my kingdom." And thirdly, we see that he knew that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. Verse 42, when he made the statement, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom," he knew they were not getting off the cross. They were not going to escape this crucifixion alive. They were nailed to these crosses. There were guards watching over them, and there was no way of escape. It's incredible that he would utter these words, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus had preached and taught for 3.5 years to get men to believe this, and many didn't. But this man did. He understood that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. Even his own disciples had a hard time understanding this, and yet this criminal did. Maybe he overheard Jesus tell Pilate in John chapter 18, when Pilate was interrogating Jesus before he was crucified, and Jesus told him, "My kingdom is not of this world." Perhaps he was in another room and actually heard Jesus say this himself. But he knew Jesus' kingdom was not of this world and wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to be a part of a kingdom who had a king that would show mercy to sinners. He wanted to be a part of a kingdom who had a king that would save others, verse 35. And he wanted to be part of a kingdom who had a king that forgives men when they do wrong. Do you remember as they were nailing Jesus to the cross in Luke 23, verses 33 and 34? Jesus looked down, not with railing words of anger,
but with words of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the kind of kingdom that this thief wanted to be a part of, the kind of king that he wanted to serve. So is it any wonder why Jesus saved this man? A thief, a common criminal, but one who had faith in God, who knew that God was merciful, and he knew of his kingdom and wanted to be a part of it. Just 5 short verses, but oh, they say so much in a few words about this man and his faith. I ask us this morning, are we really any different than this thief? I hope not. I hope we all have his faith, a faith that will cause us to turn to the Lord for our salvation. We read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, because there is no other name under heaven where which man may be saved than that of Jesus Christ. Will we turn to the Lord for our salvation? I hope we'll have his fear of God, afraid to meet God in judgment. Are you afraid to meet God in judgment today? I hope so. Because we've still got time to work on that. We've still got time to change our lives, to do something about that, to get our lives into shape so that our fear will be turned into joy. It'll be a joy to face God in the judgment. And I hope we all have this other fear of the Lord as well, talking about having the proper respect for God, rendering our lives in total submission to our Creator, to our Sustainer in life, and to our Judge when this life is over. And I hope we'll all believe in the mercy of God, that we'll not be so upset with our lives that we'll feel we'll never make it and just give up. Oh, it's true. We can never earn our way into heaven. And it's true, we're never going to be so good that God will owe us salvation. But let us never forget that God is a merciful God, that He extends His favor to those who don't deserve it, but is merciful to those who will serve Him. May we never forget. And I hope that we'll all want to be a part of His kingdom, to serve a King who shows mercy to His servants, a King who will forgive us when we do wrong as we repent, and a King who can and will save us from God's eternal wrath. Yes, I can see why Jesus saved this thief. Oh, he wasn't perfect. He is now. But he expressed his faith in the Lord as Jesus wants all men to believe him as the Savior of our souls. Again, in Luke chapter 19 verses 10 and 11, this is the reason Jesus came. He says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." That was his whole purpose of coming to the world. And now, brethren, what about us? God doesn't want us to die on a cross, but he does want us to crucify our old lives of sin, as we see in Romans chapter 6. To turn our life from sin and turn to serve a wonderful King. He wants us all to believe that he is the Savior, that he died on the cross that we might be saved. To believe this with all of our hearts, even to the point of death. And he wants us all to confess him before men, to not be ashamed of him. He wants us to be baptized in water, to have our sins washed away, and to rise a new man, a new person, a new life in service to God. And he wants us to be faithful all of our lives, so that when this life is over, we may truly be a part of his everlasting kingdom. Is it any wonder why they call Jesus a Savior? We're not that much different from the thief on the cross. Hopefully we saw a lot of things in common. Is it really hard to believe that Jesus would save someone like this? What about you? Will Jesus save you? Have you done all that Jesus required of you today? Jesus wants to save you, but we've got to put our trust and our obedience into him. We're going to sing this song for your encouragement. And if you're ready to the Lord's invitation this morning, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.